The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. A leper came to Jesus and kneeling down begged him and said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, touched him and said to him, "I do will it. Be made clean." The leprosy left him immediately and he was made clean. Then, warning him sternly, he dismissed him at once. He said to him, "See that you tell no one anything, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad, so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Happy rainy morning to everybody. Isn't it nice to have all that Bishop's Lenten Appeal stuff out of the way? We just have a regular Mass now. So our readings today are all about leprosy. First reading, Gospel, they're all about leprosy. So I thought a little bit of background would be helpful or even essential to understanding the message this week. So the first reading from the book of Leviticus is God's message to Moses and Aaron for what to do when a member of the house of Israel is afflicted with this terrible illness. And of course, here in the Gospel, our Lord shows that the Messiah has come at last, when he's here to reverse the ancient curse. Ultimately, he's going to show his power over suffering and death, but he reveals it with the most dramatic miracle in 700 years, the healing of the leper. But you know, a little bit of background here for leprosy, I think it might be essential. Do we still have leprosy in our own time? Are there still leper camps and leper colonies like you hear about in the Bible? The answer to that is yes. However, it's different from the way it was in our Lord's time in a couple of very significant ways. First of all, we do have treatment now for leprosy. However, the drugs that they use to treat the disease have a terrible side effect. They cause you to lose your vision. Okay, so you can treat it, but it's hard to call that a cure. It comes at a very, very high price. And secondly, you know, in the last 80 years or so, they discovered that leprosy isn't anything like near as contagious as people thought for centuries and centuries and centuries. What they learned is that you have to be genetically predisposed to contract leprosy. And only 5% of the population has the genetic predisposition, such that 19 people out of 20, no matter how much contact they have with a leper, they'll never get leprosy themselves. Okay? But all of this is only about the last 80 years or so. Until that time, leprosy was the worst disease in the entire world. And it wasn't the worst disease in the entire world. It was, you know, it was certainly top three. Leprosy was, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say, worse than death. Okay, three reasons for this. First is physical. Leprosy atrophies and decays your nerve endings. And the first thing that it attacks is all of your extremities. Fingers, toes, ears, nose. And after that, it begins to work its way inward until finally it attacks your vital organs. So that if somebody has leprosy, they usually end up dying of heart failure or asphyxiation or complications arising from a coma. Depending on whether the leprosy attacks your brain or your heart or your lungs first. And while this is happening, terrible sores that ulcerate and bleed and never heal break out all over your body, and there's no cure for it. And this unfolds over 10, 20, or 30 years. And they would say that leprosy was the death of a man by inches. But I ask you, what's worse? That? Or the second of the three reasons why leprosy was so terrible, namely, that if you contracted leprosy, you would be set apart in a camp, and you would never again see any of your family or friends or loved ones for the rest of your life. You couldn't see them, and they couldn't see you for the rest of your life. You know, St. Damien of Molokai, you know, Molokai, the leper priest, and he worked on the island of Molokai in the Hawaiian archipelago. They used to bring lepers to the leper colony in Molokai. And they had to push them off the boat because they wouldn't go to the leper colony. Push them into the ocean, sink or swim. Because as far as they were concerned, the separation from your loved ones was worse than the disease itself. Okay, but in our Lord's time, there was also a third reason why leprosy was so terrible. Namely, leprosy divided you from God. Because if you had this disease, it meant that never again would you be able to gather in the synagogue or in the temple for worship, and in a society whose very identity is gathering together as one people and worshiping the Lord in the temple. You can't overestimate how painful that would have been. Right? Worse than death was this affliction of leprosy. So when the gospel says a leper came to Jesus, you're supposed to understand, here's somebody at the end of their rope. Here's somebody whose life can't get any worse. And I ask you to think about that for just a moment. At the end of your rope, can't get any worse. Does that describe you? It's one thing I remember every time I stand up in front of a crowd and speak. Statistically speaking, the probability that some of you are going through the worst time in your life right now is 100%. And if you're not going through the worst time in your life and that doesn't describe you, then you definitely have very fresh memories of having just emerged from such a time. And if by some miracle you've managed to escape unscathed thus far in life and have no idea what I'm talking about, all I can say is brace yourself. It's coming, okay? Because it comes for all of us. So when you see this leper, you're supposed to identify with him. You're supposed to be like, you know what? That's me. And if being at the bottom of your rope doesn't make you identify with a leper, something else is supposed to make you identify with him. Namely, that leprosy has always been understood as a metaphor for sin. Down through the ages, Christian writers have always understood leprosy as a metaphor for sin because there's so many parallels between what leprosy does to your body, what sin does to your soul. First of all, there's just the disfigurement. And God created the world, and he looked back in the book of Genesis, and he made the heavens and the earth and the plants and the animals, and he said, "It is good, it is good." And your heavenly Father said, "It is very good." And by freely breaking God's good commandments, we disfigured his beautiful creation. And would you be surprised to learn that you and I, man and woman, were supposed to be the most beautiful thing in all of God's creation? And in fact, we were created as such. However, as the Catechism tells us, when you freely choose sin, you become a creature of your own making. Disfigured in a way that your Heavenly Father never intended. And you know, we all got to plead guilty to this. Aren't we all thin-skinned, egotistical, unloving, unkind, unforgiving, lazy, slothful, gluttonous, lustful, greedy, jealous, envious, angry, vengeful, haughty, condescending, smug, judgmental, gossiping, bickering, and just plain mean? That's only a partial list. We all got to plead guilty to that. Heavenly Father made none of that. And you know, we don't often even see our own faults because, you know, unlike leprosy, you can't see it in the mirror. You know what we do? You know what we do? We point the finger, we blame other people. We say, "Oh, it's not my fault, it's my mom's fault. It's not my fault, it's the government's fault. It's not my fault, it's my wife's fault. It's not my fault, it's my brother's fault." It's always somebody else's fault. We can't be like that. You know what? It's so very rare the person can look in the mirror and say, "I made bad decisions and it's my own fault." But that's what we have to do. Another reason we don't see it is because we compare ourselves, we play the comparing game. We say, "Well, you know what? I admit, I might not be perfect, but at least I'm not as bad as that guy. At least I'm not as bad as that lady over there. At least I'm not as bad as you. Don't we all do that? And then sin separates us from one another. I hope that's crystal clear. But one of the worst things, just like leprosy, sin separates you from God. And you go back to the book of Genesis, and as soon as Adam and Eve commit that sin, the first thing they do, they go running and hiding from God. Not that God loves them any less, but leaves you with the impression that God has turned away from you. So when you see the leper here in the gospel, we're supposed to identify with him, and then we do what the leper does. He does two things here, and we want to do the same thing. First of all, he went to Jesus. And secondly, he went in humility and in deepest faith. We want to do the same thing. First of all, turn to the Lord. When it comes to sin, that's easy, right? Just go to confession. You can get the whole thing done in less than 3 minutes. When it comes to being in the deepest, lowest places of your life, please remember this. Don't turn to the secular world for your healing. The secular world and all of its efforts and offerings can't heal you. It can offer you power, it can offer you money, it can offer you honor, it can offer you pleasure, but it can't heal the deep hurt in the bottom of your soul. It doesn't have the power to do it. It can distract your attention, it can try to sell you something, but only the Lord can heal you. You want to turn to the Lord. And it's always hard to do this, isn't it? And of all the things in the world you could admit to loving, it's never fashionable to say that Christ our Lord and His church are those things that you want to turn to. You can turn to anything else in the world and it's perfectly fine, but as soon as you say that I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, people get uncomfortable. It's never been easy. You know, here in the gospel, a leper came to Jesus. Do you realize that he risked his life to do that? You know what the punishment was for leaving a leper colony? Death by stoning. It might seem cruel, but you know, the rabbis used to carry around a bag of rocks with them just in case a leper went wandering, and they could throw rocks at him to keep him far away. He risked his life to go to the Lord. And you know, it's never going to be easy, but it's the only place you can turn for healing. But here's what's most important. He goes in humility, and he goes in deepest faith. Listen to these words. If you wish, you can make me clean. And you hear what's being said in that? Lord, not my will, but your will be done. There's nothing in the whole world, Lord, that I want more than this. But even there, I'm willing to trust that you, Lord, know better than I know. And you love better than I love. We want to be able to say that exact same thing. Lord, you know better than I know, and you love better than I love. And I tell you, sometimes it's the most baffling thing. You can find the best people with the most sincere intentions, the most reasonable and good prayers. And the answer comes back and God says no. I have no idea why. But when that happens, we want to go to God not with ultimatums, not with demands, not with insistencies, but with faith and humility. Because I tell you, when you turn to the Lord in that kind of faith and humility, one of two things is going to happen every single time. Either the Lord's going to deliver you from your affliction, or he's going to give you the strength you need to press on and to persevere. And both of those are very, very good things. So a couple little lessons this morning from the leper in the Gospel of Mark. Go to the Lord in humility, faith, and deepest confidence. Because when you come to the point in your life when you got nothing left but God alone, that's when you realize that God alone truly is enough. Amen.